Chapter 7, Conflict and Confusion. I'm floating on a log through the murky waters of the swamp. I hear the distant buzzing of bees and the gentle swaying of the cattails. The sunbeams warm my skin as I close my eyes and feel the water lapping up and down beneath me. Up and down, up and I open one eye and see that I'm not in the swamp at all. I'm in Mrs. Brisbane's car, and my tank is rocking up and down, up and down. I'm on my way back to school, back to being classroom pet, whatever that means. Once my tank is in place, some of the big tads arrive and come up to say hi. Did you have a fun weekend? AJ asks in that loud voice of his. I spent mine at Grandma's house. We made cookies. I think cookies are a tasty treat to humans, kind of like crickets are to frogs. There are no crickets chirping in the classroom today. It's a little too chilly for them. Brr, it's cold outside, Og. That's Tabitha rubbing her arms as she speaks. Inside, too. Too cold to stay on the playground. Well, bye. I'm glad Tabitha talks to me, but I wish she'd talk to the other students, too. As Granny told us, you can't make a friend if you won't be a friend. As she and the others head to their desks, Humphrey darts to the side of his cage near my tank, and out comes a long stream of squeaks. Squeak! 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 He says again and again. There's no use telling me something if I can't understand it, buddy, I tell him. Do you think he stops squeaking? No, he does not. I don't boing again because it just seems to encourage him. Besides, it is cold in room 26, and when the temperature falls, cold-blooded creatures like me slow down. The tank is near the window, and it's getting chillier by the minute until I'm about to doze off. And when it's cold outside, we frogs can sleep a long, long time, maybe even months. But I wake up quickly when I hear loud voices yelling. Or maybe I'm still asleep and this is a dream, because everything in room 26 looks different. Instead of my friends sitting at tables that are neatly lined up, everything's been moved around. Usually the big tads read books or write on paper or listen to Mrs. Brisbane. Now they're all gathered in small groups, fitting together puzzle pieces, playing games, and making things with paper and glue. But two students are shouting at each other. They are as loud as George and his bullfrog relatives. Instead of saying rum rum, one of them is screaming, cheater! That is Gail yelling. The other student shouts, am not, right back at her. That is Gail's best friend, Heidi. From what I hear, they might not be best friends anymore. Of course, my furry neighbor has to get into the act. Squeak, squeak, squeak. One thing I learned back in the swamp is that when there's trouble, it's best to keep your mouth shut. Again, I quote Granny Greenleaf, when you poke your nose into other folks' arguments, you just might get bit. Ouch! Mrs. Brisbane quietly takes control. Girls, please. But they don't listen. Heidi and Gail are screaming at each other, cawing like angry crows. It's as bad as the famous Battle of the Bullfrogs. I'd almost forgotten what a terrible day that was. The more the girls squawk, the more Humphrey squeaks. Squeak, 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 squeak. Mrs. Brisbane stands right between the girls and says, calm down and be quiet. She sounds a whole lot louder this time. The girls stop screaming, which is a good thing because Humphrey stops squeaking too. Then Gail, who is almost always giggling, starts to cry. And Heidi, who is always cheery, begins to bawl. To me, this is a bad thing. In fact, it's something frogs don't do at all. In the swamp, if somebody's angry, they don't cry. They do something about it. They squawk and swoop. They strike or sting. They even do worse than that. But crying? Never. When Mrs. Brisbane gets them to talk, it turns out the girls have been playing a game, and Gail believes that Heidi was cheating. Heidi is sure that she was not. Mrs. Brisbane reminds them that they are friends and can work things out. I'm not going to be friends with a cheater, Gail wipes her eyes. Heidi sniffs loudly, I'm not going to be friends with a liar. Mrs. Brisbane sends Heidi over to a chair near my tank in Humphrey's cage and sends Gail to sit at the teacher's desk to cool off. The argument makes me as sad as a lizard who just lost a tail. Even though it will grow back, a lizard still doesn't like losing a tail. While I'm thinking about sad lizards, the recess bell rings. Everybody gather up the games and supplies and puts them back on the shelves, Mrs. Brisbane tells the students. Recess is over. Ah, now I understand the students stayed inside during recess because it's so cold outside. Mrs. Brisbane takes Heidi and Gail into the hall to talk. Room 26 is a lot quieter without them. I decided to sit in the water. Time to float. Doze B. The cold gets to me again, and I do more dozing than I expected. And I am surprised when the bell rings for recess again. Can we go build a snowman? AJ asks. I can tell some of the other students like that idea, but Mrs. Brisbane says there's not enough snow for a snowman, and it's too cold to go outside. I climb onto my rock, look out the window, and see feathery little flakes drifting down from the sky. I've never seen snow before. It looks like rain, but whiter. For this recess, Mrs. Brisbane divides the class into teams to play a guessing game. They stand in four lines, and she asks questions one by one. If a big tad on one team gets the question wrong, that person has to sit down. AJ gets a question about giraffes right, but he misses one about flowers and has to sit down. Zaya seems to know everything until she misses a question about basketball. Tabitha answers it correctly and she smiles when she hears me say, "Bing, bang, boing, keep it up." It doesn't take long to notice that Tabitha gets all the questions about sports right and her team cheers her on. "Go, Tabitha!" they shout excitedly. She looks my way and gives me a thumbs up. I'd like to give her one back, but it doesn't work with webbed feet. Seth, who is a team captain, high-fives her, and she smiles again. For at least a few minutes, everybody likes Tabitha, and I can tell she likes them back. She's so good, even people on the other teams cheer her on. In between my encouraging boings, I can hear Humphrey squeaking excitedly. In the end, Tabitha's team scores way more points than any other team, and everybody cheers for her. It's nice to see her look happy for a change. But when I glance at Gail and Heidi, they still don't look happy. They look as if they've each just lost their best friend. Once the big tads leave for the day, room 26 is peaceful, until my nervous neighbor flings open his cage door and scurries over to my tank, squeaking like crazy and twitching his tail. He leans in so close, he wiggles his whiskers right in my face. Thank goodness there's glass between us or he'd tickle me silly. "You know I can't understand you, don't you, Humphrey?" I boing extra loud. "Squeak, squeak, squeak," he repeats again and again. I hop a few times to seem friendly, and he finally leaves. My mind drifts back to the swamp. I had a lot of good friends there, especially my green froggy friends. There were some bad guys, too, but at least I understood all of them. I'm still thinking of my old home when Aldo comes to clean. When he takes a break to eat, he pulls a chair up to Humphrey's cage, which is fine with me. Humphrey squeaks on and on. Even though I'm not really listening, I hear Aldo talk about his dream of going back to school and becoming a teacher. I don't think I'd like to be a teacher if I had to deal with irritating classroom pets like Humphrey and George. A nice green frog like me would be okay, though. He waves a piece of paper in front of Humphrey's cage. It doesn't look important to me, but it has something to do with becoming a teacher. It sure seems important to Aldo. When he leaves for the night, I spot the paper half hiding under Humphrey's cage. Aldo will be upset when he finds out it's missing. For once, Humphrey and I agree on something. I guess because later that night, Humphrey flings open his cage door. I'm hoping he won't come squeak at me, and he doesn't. Instead, he carefully pulls the paper out in the open, and then, well, it can't be. But I think he's reading it. It's a big piece of paper, so he has to skitter along each line and then scramble down to the next line to read every word. It looks a little bit strange, but I give the little guy credit for working so hard to read it. Maybe I should pay more attention to Mrs. Brisbane's teaching. I shouldn't be surprised by anything odd that Humphrey does anymore, but I am caught off guard when he carefully drags the paper near my tank and squeaks at me. "What am I supposed to do?" I ask. "I can't even see it from here. And if you drop it in the tank, the water will ruin it." Humphrey gives me a long, sad stare and returns to his cage. But he leaves the paper right out in the open. I'm hoping that Mrs. Brisbane will see it in the morning. I'm extra careful not to splash it. Maybe that's the kind of helpful thing a classroom pet does.